Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Very exciting topic with an exciting guest who was on the Def Jam. Now, Def Jam was started by Russell Simmons, if you didn't know, for those people who are really into music. And I believe Jay-Z was one of the presidents. So Music Soul Child, have you heard of them? I haven't, but they're associated with Def Jam along with Neo. And he was working with the likes of Tyrese Gibson. He's no stranger to the Dean Show. I've done many shows revolving around him. Keisha Cole, he worked with her. Bruno Mars, these are some big names in the music industry. So we're going to be talking about this topic, how music has an effect on not only the mind, body, and soul, amongst other things, with an expert in this area who was on the Def Jam record label when we come back here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Umar, a.k.a., how do you pronounce it? Leblanc?
El Dubois.
El Dubois.
Yeah, yeah.
El it's Dubois French. Is French.
Yeah, Dubois is French, yeah.
But you were singing R&B French songs?
No, no. I was doing R&B in English.
In English?
Yeah.
Now, what's R&B is like what the romanticized, like get the honey, get all the money, and sing them with the sweet nothings?
Right, the love songs and, you know, trying to get a woman, like you said, a lot of those type of songs, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it's associated
now,
with.
Now, some of these names, these are big names associated with Def Jam. Is that like, that's a really huge record label?
Yeah, Def Jam is a very well-known record label.
The top, isn't it?
It was, yes, yes. Especially, it was very well-known in regards to... especially dealing with hip-hop back in the days. You know, people like Run DMC, all of these people were on Def Jam. LL Cool J, these people, all of these are Def Jam artists.
That was my generation, LL Cool J. I know, yeah. LL Cool J, yeah. He had some clean songs back. I don't listen to that no more.
Yeah, he had some clean stuff back in the day.
He had some clean stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, he had some clean stuff.
So, what about Music Soul Child? They're also a big-name group?
Music Soul Child is actually an artist. He's a singer, songwriter like myself, formerly... he's somebody that's well known amongst the youth. So he's
Def Jam artist also.
Yeah, he was
Neo?
A Def Jam artist.
Neo. Who's Neo?
Neo is another former. He's a singer songwriter musician right now. That a lot of people are familiar with Neo. I never met Neo myself, but he's somebody that has been associated with Def Jam.
Now you worked also alongside with Keisha Cole.
Yes, I actually worked. You know, me and Keisha Cole, we did a few writing sessions before she actually became, you know, well known out there in the industry. I worked with her. I've done writing sessions with Tyrese. We're in the same studios working together. So many people, you know, Raphael, the likes of Raphael Sadiq, a lot of people are familiar with him. I've worked with him several times. You know, a lot of these people are good people, but, you know, just need the guidance of Islam. Many of people need the guidance of Islam. Bruno Mars.
Who's Bruno Mars?
He's an artist, same thing, singer, songwriter, musician who's very well known.
Bruno,
to
is he Italian?
Right now. Bruno, you know, that's a good question. You know, Bruno, I think he's mixed. Uh-huh. So he's a very, very nice guy. You know, me and him had the opportunity to perform on the same stages, and, you know, a very nice guy.
Is he R&B also?
Yeah, R&B style. He's doing some different stuff right now, you know, that is going back, you know, to like the Prince days, you know, stuff like that he's been doing lately.
Now, you were signed with this record label,
yes,
is that correct?
Yes, I was signed to Island Def Jam for about 2.5-3 years, yeah.
Now, this is what many people aspire. They want to be a star. They see many of these stars up there, these celebrities, and now they dream of this. They go to sleep, you know, listening to music, watching the music, musicians up there, and they would just sell their souls, and many do, you know, just trying to get up there. And how was it you were able to leave this lifestyle?
You know, it's really, Eddie, is a mercy from Allah Ta'ala, because after I got off of Def Jam, I began to do stuff independently. And I think probably that next year, I got signed to BMG Music for songwriting. I was doing commercials with an agency called Vowels Artist Management out of New York. And I was doing many things on my own. And so I started to go on meetings in order to get, you know, some more exposure to get onto another record label. Maybe 13 meetings, but Allah Ta'ala kept me from that. And so then I went on to do things independently. And subhanAllah, just before, you know, really launching out there, because by that time I had fans in Australia, on my own, London, different areas. So, but right before actually launching out there, really, really getting out there, Allah Ta'ala saved me from that and blessed me with Islam.
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel comfortable anymore with doing, with speaking about certain things that were going against what Allah revealed. You know, speaking about zina and all of these different things, I wanted to get away from that, along with the environment, which we'll touch down on some more, inshallah.
Before we go to break, so what's the typical day like for a celebrity like that?
It depends. I mean, you have different types of people. You have a person, I usually say you have three different types of musicians, or three different types of individuals that deal with music. You have a person that's like, becomes like a complete introvert. You have one that becomes addicted to women, and then you have one that's addicted to drugs and alcohol. Or do you have, you can add a fourth category, we have one that's like a mixture of them all. You understand? So you have different types of personalities. Nobody's the same. So, and all of these areas are dangerous. They're very dangerous. And I maybe was type of person that could possibly be associated with at least two of those categories. I never did drugs and alcohol, these type of things. But I didn't like to go out too much and these type of things. But you see that all of any one of those things really had effects on people, really had effects on each and every one of those people that you see doing it. They fit one of those categories, you know.
Yeah, we were going to talk about some more of different people that you've known that went down this course, and it seems like, you know, the world just opens up to you.
Absolutely.
And you would think you'd be very happy, but actually many people end up becoming very despondent.
Opposite.
We're going to be talking with you on the effects of the music that it has on the heart, mind, body, and soul. Here in the Dean Show with former Def Jam artists. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show Entertainment. Seems like you turn on the TV, someone turns on the TV, you know, all this entertainment entertaining us. And many of times, or most of the time, people are forgetting that we have a purpose in this life.
Absolutely.
We just haven't been created for play and horsing around, you know, is a time
Absolutely.
And place. But you got serious with life. You figured out what the purpose of life is. You're living it. Compared your heart to back then to now, how does it feel?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. And that's something that I needed to start with, because that gives me that especially with the question you just asked me, you know, what is the difference now? Difference now versus then. That's what you want to know about, right? You know, the thing is, Eddie, when you go out and you're doing all of those things, as you experience yourself many times, you spoke about these things, you start to ask yourself, what is the purpose of life? You ask yourself, what is the purpose of life? And I literally, Eddie, I used to have these conversations with many of my friends. After going out and these things, many of them are musicians just like myself. We would next day ask each other, what was the purpose of that? Does that matter now? Did all of that we did last night, does it matter now? And the answer was no, it didn't matter. Now we were questioning, what is the true purpose of life? And this is something that people didn't want to ponder on, especially the people that I was around. A lot of people try to get around this question, because if you ask yourself that question, then you have to face what? The question of death. You have to face the reality of death, that soon you're going to die. And what happens then? So soon after, I began questioning, and I ran across some brothers that were, one of my friends actually took Shahada before me. And we used to sit up speaking about the purpose of life. And I was given the Quran. And for months, this Quran was sitting on my shelf, literally, for months, for a long time. And I regret that now, because maybe, you know, I would have got the chance to enter Islam much sooner. But I read, before that, he gave me a book that was called The Essay on the Jinn by Dr. Bilal Phillips. This was the translation that he did by Ibn Taymiyyah, Essay on the Jinn. And he knew that I was into things dealing with the unseen. So I read this and it absolutely blew me away because I'd never read anything like that. And then after that, this is when I got a chance to read the Quran. Now keep in mind, at this time, I had read so much different material. I was somebody that really was in search of the truth. You can ask anyone that was around me at the time. I would read all different types of books on Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism, dealing with, raised as a Christian in a Christian home, as a Baptist. So I had read the Bible. You know, of course, you're reading the Old Testament, so you're dealing with the Torah. But nothing really resonated in the heart, except that I saw that Jesus, peace be upon him, and all of the prophets were praying and prostrating to one creator. So there was a time in my life where I remember being, you know, in my early 20s saying, I want to be like them. I don't know, you know, what way of life teaches that, but I want to be like them. And that's when I realized that my family was doing something opposite from what was, you know, what they were taught. So this is what led me to that path of truth. So when I read the Quran, bring that back to there, when I read the Quran, this was something that was absolutely amazing. This was something that was speaking about all of those prophets that I had read about before, worshiping one creator, you know, not worshiping the creation. And that's something that everybody knows in their heart, that what they're supposed to be doing is worshiping the creator. Everybody knows that in their heart when they're born. As we know that what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that every child is born on the fitrah. Every child is born upon worship, knowing that they're supposed to worship Allah and Allah alone, one God and one God alone, without worshiping anything besides him. So this was the absolute truth to me when I saw this, that all of these prophets, from Jesus, Moses, Solomon, David, and the last of them, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, were worshiping one creator. And I felt like the Quran was something that spoke directly to me. It wasn't telling me, you know, that such and such said this and these, that. It didn't give me the impression that someone's sitting in a tree telling me a story in the third person. Rather, even when the creator of the heavens and the earth would narrate something, it was coming from him. And I would literally play games with the Quran, Eddie, open up to a random page. And it's speaking about the things that I personally was dealing with. And this is something that anybody can do. I challenge anyone. Just open the Quran up. Open it up and see it addressing your issues right there. It's amazing.
Now how we know that people go to sleep to music, they wake up to music, in the car music, and it seems their whole life revolves around the next hit song coming out. But then, right, you know, that's a big high, then a steep low. How did you feel like music was having an influence on your heart, mind, body, and soul?
SubhanAllah, brother, literally, when I started to make salah, you just have a feeling in your heart, and I had the same conversation with a few other brothers that experienced the same thing as me. The thing is that when you start to make salah, you feel like you're mixing something that is you know, and I'm not ashamed, I'm not shy to say something that is evil or something that is pure. It seems like you're trying to mix the two. And this brings us back to the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim Jawziyyah, when he mentioned that, you know, the no one can have the Quran and music in their heart at the same time. They can't mix with one another. I experienced these things. Being a musician is different from a person that just listens to music. Being a musician, you're experiencing the effects. I used to play my guitar for 8 hours a day, Eddie. As I mentioned to you, sometimes I would fall asleep with the guitar in my hand. So, and playing piano, I play piano, guitar, harmonica, play various different instruments, you know, bass, guitar, just to, you know, you want to feel the different vibration and it develops different sounds.
You were like a one-man band.
Yeah, that was exactly me. I mean, there was when I was in the studio, it was just me playing everything, doing everything, doing the background vocals, doing everything. Anyone who knows me or who knew me in the past will attest to that, you know? So the effects of it, so somebody, you talking about feeling the effects, this was the plan of Allah for me to feel those effects of this and to be able to, I believe, to be able to warn people against it, because it's something many people talk about, the difference of opinion and things like this. I guarantee you, you speak to a former musician and you bring anyone that may have that opinion, that former musician may be able to change the mind of that sheikh. The sheikh will start to reflect, because I've had conversations with a few shuyukh that may have held that position. And their mind is, you know, thinking, you know, should I change my position now? Because of the things that you're able to express to them. It's not a game. It's extremely dangerous.
And you were, I mean, you lived it eight hours a day playing dangerous. All of these.
Whenever you are sad, Eddie, you want to turn to the music to make you feel better. Many musicians, former musicians like myself, had the same experience. When you know, and we know, as when you're feeling sad, what should you turn to? The book of Allah. You should be turning to the Quran for that remedy, for that cure. But rather, we were turning to the music, and what this was doing, it gives you that temporary feel. It gives you a temporary pleasure. Whereas the Quran, it continues to feed you in mm-hmm. the proper way. You know, it continues to feed you. People don't realize that the club is also a place of worship for people that listen to music. It has a place. And we can go, I've pondered on this.
You're talking
so much.
About the nightclub.
The nightclub.
So we got the music is the Quran for the shaitan.
Yeah.
Right? So they're listening to.
Absolutely.
Let's give
it.
And now a new one. I like this.
Doubt.
Now the masjid is.
Is a place of worship for the Muslims.
And that's for the Muslim, but I mean for the people of for the nightclub, that's a place of worship. That's like a.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk more about this when we come back. Absolutely. Here on the Dean Show. Very exciting show. Former Def Jam artist. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, former Def Jam artist. So instead of turning to the book that was revealed from the creator of the heavens and the earth, this is the Quran, tamper-free, tamper-proof. It's a living miracle, and it gives that joy, that contentment, that peace to the heart. Now people, they turn into the music, trying to fill an empty void, doesn't work. And then now we left off, talk about people also, because it was a tribute of music, we go to the house of worship, the masjid, but people going to the nightclubs and performing some ritual acts of worship there. Talk about this.
SubhanAllah, I mean, it's a thing that people don't realize. You have a place of worship where the people that want to worship the creator of the heavens and the earth, they go to recite the Quran. And not this is not the only place people go to recite the Quran, but it's known as one of the places when you go inside of the house of Allah, you see people, you can go to areas and it's buzzing like bees, you know. People are reciting the Quran. And so you see this is a place of worship, you know, for people that want to worship the Creator. Then you have those who not unknowingly are worshiping the shaitan because you have this has its place of worship. And this place is the nightclubs. You know, you have just listen. If you were to turn off the music alone and just hear about what people are talking about in the songs, it's always 99% of the time leading to the disobedience of Allah, the disobedience of the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're talking about zina. We don't need to go into it. People know what it's talking about. If the music was shut off, half of this stuff, people wouldn't listen to it. So the music is added for that effect that, you know, that takes a person in a trance, hypnotic trance. You know, even scientists know that music has an effect on you that is very hypnotic. You know, I know this as a former musician. It's something that's very hypnotic. So you may listen to something that you wouldn't normally listen to without that music in there. You know, people say, oh, as long as the lyrics are fine, you know. People don't realize the effects of, you know, even something like jazz. You know, you're talking about instrumentation. It has effects on the heart. And it may be that you may cause so much damage to your heart that when you read the Quran, it won't have any effect on him. People need to reflect on something, right? And I don't want to go too much, too deep, because I know the time is limited. Reflect on this. Like the Quran, music can be recited, it can be listened to, and it can be written down. People don't think about that. Likewise, the Quran can be recited, listened to, and it can be written down. They are at war in the hearts of the people. You understand? There's no doubt about who would win that. There's no competition. You're talking about music versus the Quran. One causes one effect, and another causes another effect. The Quran brings pleasure to the hearts. Just look at, I always tell people to ponder on this. Just look at how people die a lot of times that are addicted to music and are addicted to, which takes them to many times addicted to alcohol and drugs and things. Look at the past. Look at some of the most well-known musicians. What was their end? How did they die? You know, how did they die? And it's very important to examine that. And then you look at the top reciters. How did they die? Many of them dying in the most peaceful state, you know, which is very important. You know, that's a very important ayah from Allah, you know, seeing how people die, you know, very important.
So now, I mean, when you put this into perspective, you know that there are many things distracting us from really reflecting, contemplating why we're here, as I mentioned earlier. And now that you've connected and you are charging your heart, because we've charged the cell phone, the iPad, and now was this just a temporary fix where people would be listening to music and that quickly wears off, you're in the same position.
You're in the same position again.
When you charge the heart with what it's supposed to be charged with the remembrance of God, because truly in the remembrance of God, as God says in the Quran, do hearts find rest.
Absolutely.
Did you find this tranquility, peace, and rest?
And that's a big difference. You know, when I was sad many times or not feeling right, I used to pick up my guitar or play the piano to start feeling a certain way. Now I immediately go to the Quran, or I perform two rak'at. So you, it's a whole different thing. You're dealing with a whole different level of tranquility. And I encourage any brother or sister that are dealing with this struggle of music, you know, just go a day or two without listening to it. Challenge yourself. When I embraced Islam, one of the first things I did, and you're talking about a former musician, so no one can tell me how hard it is. You understand how difficult it is? No one can tell me about the difficulty. I went the whole of Ramadan without listening to music, because Ramadan was about 2 months later when I embraced Islam. So I went that whole Ramadan without listening to music, and I felt as if I didn't need it anymore, you know? And I had dealt with some trials after Ramadan, until later giving it up. Now it's been about almost six years or so since I've played a guitar or any instrument. Mm-hmm. It's been about 6 years now, alhamdulillah, since I've completely left the music industry itself. So I encourage brothers and sisters to start to pick up the Quran. Even if you're reading a verse a day, two verses, start 5 minutes. Start small and build up, you know? Give the Quran its rights. Don't just leave it on the shelf to collect dust and then take it down from Ramadan and we read the Quran, but rather we should be reflecting upon the tafsir, going to books of tafsir. You know, there's many books of tafsir in English for even the English reader to read now.
Before we leave, we've seen on another television program you did, and when we talk about music, we're not talking about the natural sound of birds and the bees and the beautiful human voice.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, the culture today that's surrounded by audio pornography that calls you to fornication, to drugs, to illicit sexual intercourse, and all these evil things that if you turned it off, these beats and all the stuff that's just luring you in, most people would be appalled. But now you've also done some nasheed where it's your voice. Can you leave could you leave our audience with something of maybe 15 seconds?
Would you mind if I recite the Quran?
Yes, go ahead. That'd be beautiful. Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور
الحمد لله
ما شاء الله تبارك الله Thank you so much for that wonderful recitation. That was the verbatim word of God, the Quran, that anyone, even if they didn't understand, it connects with the heart. Thank Absolutely. You for sharing your experiences with us. Inshallah, God willing, we can have you back again on this
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely, inshallah. It'll be an honor to come back here, inshallah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And from working with the likes of Keisha Cole, Bruno Mars, Def Jam, Russell Simmons, now to being on the Deen Show, reciting the verbatim word of God, the Quran, and truly in the remembrance of God, do hearts find rest, connect with the Quran. It's been sent as a mercy to the world. And the purpose of life is mentioned in there, why you've been created is mentioned in there, and where you're going when you die. It's all mentioned in there. So now you can sit back and keep listening to these nasty lullabies that are out there putting you to sleep, calling you to all sorts of things that just corrupt your heart, mind, body, and soul, or you can purify it. You can charge up the heart, give it back to the one who created it, and you will have that peace and contentment. So benefit from the advice that we gave here today. Subscribe if you haven't already. You can follow us now on the Twitter and the Facebook, also on the Instagram. We'll see you next time here on the Deen Show, God willing. Until then, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to the Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support the Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.